Book of 1 Samuel chapter 8. Let's read the 1 Samuel chapter 8 verse 1.
And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgments. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.
The word of God says, first of all, Samuel was giving the word to the other people, Israeli people, and they were giving him respect. Each and every person listened to Samuel. And now Samuel is old, and his children are working in the tabernacle, but they were just like Eli's children. They were not doing good judgment. They were greedy. They were taking bribes, and they were not giving the right kind of judgment. So the people got scared. They start thinking, it will be just like Eli's children, and we will not have any future. So they came to the Samuel and they said, listen, you're old man now. Your children are not walking according to the will of God just like you do. So we need a king like other nations. And when the Samuel heard that, he got hurt. He started thinking, these people do not want to hear me anymore. But he didn't understand that his children were the problem. When the people of God, as I said last week, they are busy in the Lord's work, and the devil works on their children. So that's why it is very important the ministers take care of their family first and train the children in the Lord. Samuel didn't do it. Eli didn't do it. That's what the problem was. So now Samuel is getting sad. He's a little bit depressed, thinking why these people are saying this. Maybe they hate me. So here what happens. Samuel was angry. Samuel was sad. But he did not fight with the people. He just went to the Lord. And he prayed to God, Lord, this is what the people are saying. What should I do? Let's read the verse 6.
But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.
See how God comforts Samuel. The word of God says, when the Samuel was sad and he was grieving and he thought people hate me, he said, Samuel, don't worry. They hate me before they hate you. They don't want me to be their king, so they are rejecting me, so they are not rejecting you. And that might be very comforting to Samuel, that God is not angry at me, even though all the people are angry. But God is saying, listen, Samuel, if they wanted a king, listen to them. Give them a king. And see what happens, verse 8.
According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee.
Now, God is giving Samuel an example. I brought these people from Egypt. Now, all the time in the Bible, God always talks about bringing out of Egypt. Egypt is like a sinful nation or bringing out of sin. God says, I brought them out of Egypt, and Egyptians were killing them, destroying them, and they were under bondage. It was not easy for Israeli people to get out of there because they were there like almost 400 years, and they had no way to get out. God only did miracles, and God brought them out. So God is reminding Samuel, you know the history, what I did, and how these people were in a bondage. But after they came from Egypt, they always want to worship the heathen gods. And they always want to go against me. So what they are doing to me, they are doing to you. So don't worry. If they want a king, give them a king. But he told him, warn them what the king will be doing. Please read the verse 9.
Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them.
Now God says, listen to them, but tell them I'm not agreeing with you to have a king, but don't fight with them. Give the answer peacefully, reverently, and tell them why you don't need a king. Because if you have a king, the king will do so many things which you would not like it. And he gives the list of the things what the king will be doing. Now the Samuel start thinking, if I give the list of the things what the king is going to do to Israeli people, sometime they might change their mind and say, Samuel, please, we don't want king, we asked the wrong thing. But see what happens. Verse 10.
And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the matter of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. He will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day.
Now see all the list God gave to the Israeli people, and Samuel told them, you know what's going to happen? King is going to take your sons, your daughters, and they will be working in his army. The daughters will be cooking and doing the cooking chores. You have some good servants. He will take your servants and make his servants. And he will take your farms, take your vineyards, take your seeds, 10% to the king. And he will take everything, and you will be frustrated. At that time, you will come to me and cry to me and say, Lord, we made a mistake. And we asked the king, he said, I'm not going to answer you at that particular time. So he gave the list of the things that king will do. But the people's heart was hardened. They wanted a king. So see what happens, verse 19.
Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us.
Now they said, listen, we heard what you said about a king will do, but we made up our mind. We do not want to listen to you. We need a king. Just like a people go and picketing, I don't know, hundreds and thousands of Israeli people coming, say, we need a king. We need king. And so they did not change their heart, but they said, we want a king. And see what happens, verse 20.
That we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.
Now, what they're saying to Samuel, why we need king? We need king just like other people. Now, they want to mix with other people. They want to compare with other people. God says, I have separated you from this among the other nations, and you are my special people. God has chosen these people as a separate nations. But now they want to mingle with other people. See your children, sometimes they go to school and see other children, they're wearing some different kinds of dress. I want that kind of shirt, I want that kind of pant, I want that kind of shoes. And the ladies also, they will say, if the fashion changes, whatever the other people wearing the shoes and fashions they see on the TV, they want the same way. So these people are saying, we want to be like other people. We don't want to be separated. And this is what's happening even today. in this 21st century. America was a separate nation. America was founded on the Christian principle. But now the people say, we don't want to be a Christian nation. Just be like other nations and just mingle with other people. Let us be like other people. See what the Bible says. Read the Exodus chapter 19, verse 6.
And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
What God is saying to Moses, tell my people, you are the priest, you are the kingdom of nations. I have chosen you, I have separated you, you are my people. Don't mingle with other people. He said, tell these people that you are my people. And you are separated. You are holy nations. You are separated for me. But these people want to mingle with other people and be like other people. And they lost their blessings. But at the same time, God has chosen us. Israeli nation didn't listen to God. And they went after other gods. And they lost their blessing. See what the Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
See, here the word of God says, now the Israeli people didn't listen to me. Now he says, you are my chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word of God says we were in the darkness. We were under the bondage of sin. We were dying without God and without Christ. But God says, Israeli people didn't listen to me. Now I have chosen you. So Christian people supposed to be a special people. The holy people, God's people. But now what the people are doing? Like heathen they do, they do tattoo. We want tattoo. They will pierce their ears. We want to pierce our ears. Whatever the people are doing, the worldly people, they want to do in this, in the church. So the most of the people who are born again Christian, they're supposed to be living a Christian life and do not allow the world to come in. We have to be separated from other people, but we want to mingle with other people. Now, sometimes when you see Christian people are wearing the dresses or whatever the clothes, and they are among the other people, who is a Christian and who is the non-Christian? Because their dress code will be similar, their hairstyle will be similar, and they will look alike, and you cannot find them who is a Christian unless you talk to them and they witness to you. The Word of God says, we are not the children of darkness. We cannot act like a heathen people. We cannot talk like them. We cannot behave like them. Now, some of the Christian people, they use the language which is not good language. Even the born-again Christian people, sometimes they use it and don't even know it they're using it. Use the worldly word and not even knowing what they're saying and what they're doing. Because we are living among the heathen nations. So what we do, we pick up their words, we pick up their fashions, we pick up their language, and we act like them. We have to remember, we are not the worldly people. We have chosen by God. So we have to live a Christian life and let the world know that we are different. We are the children of God, and we want to let the people know we are separated. We are not going to live in this world like a worldly people. But these people are saying, you know what? We want the king like other kings. And we want to be a nation like other nations. And then they are saying, why they want king? They said, the king will judge us. And he will go before us. And he will fight for us. That's why we need king. We just saw last week, the enemy came to destroy them. Samuel was just doing the sacrifice, and Samuel didn't go anywhere. Keep on doing the sacrifice. People start saying, Samuel, please pray. And he prayed to God, and the thunder came. And those people start running. And all the hundreds and thousands of people were killed. All the nations were defeated. There was a peace in the Samuel's time. So you can see, these people do not know the battle is of the Lord. You cannot fight your battle alone. Some people, when they have a problem, I'm talking about sickness and disease, they run to doctors, or they have problem, they go to a lawyer, or they have some problem, they call some a worldly friend, girlfriend or boyfriend, and say, this is my problem, could you give me some advice? What happens? You fail. But if you call upon God, you never fail. God is the one can fight your battle. The word of God says, when you give your tithes and offerings, I will fight for you, and I will defeat your enemy. You don't have to worry. So these people lost the faith in God. So they said, we want a king because he's going to judge us. Samuel's children were judging. He said, we don't want their judgment because their judgment is not good and you're going to die. So we need a king who can judge us, who can fight for us, and we can win the battles. So we need a king. Go to the 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 21.
And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord.
Now what Samuel did, he did not give any judgment. He goes back to God and said, Lord, this is what the people said. You told me what the king will do. I told them everything, but they don't want to listen, and they want a king like other nations. He told everything what the people are saying. See what God is saying, verse 22.
And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city.
Now God says, listen to them. Give them a king. Where the Samuel is going to find a king. Now there were hundreds and thousands of people. Samuel could have said, hey, who wants to be king? Come on here. And I will appoint you as a king. But Samuel didn't know what to do. So God says, give them a king. Samuel simply said to these people, you know what? Go home. Go to your houses. That means I will talk to God. God might do something, but right now I don't have an answer. You go home. And those people didn't say, we are not going to go home until you give us a king. They went home. And see what happens. The chapter stops here, and we are going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 9, starting from verse 1.
Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becherath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward he was higher than any of the people.
When you read the verse 1, he says he's talking about the one man, Benjaminites, and he is rich man, he is famous man, he is a mighty man, he's a good man, and he has a son. Now, his son, he says, is very handsome. He was the number one handsome person in the whole Israeli people. And he was the tallest man in the whole Israeli nation. But everybody didn't know. Samuel didn't know. But here the word of God is saying, there is a man, his father's name is given Kish. He is a very mighty man, he is a powerful man, he is a rich man, has a lots of servants, has a lots of donkey, he is a good businessman, but he has a son called Saul, and see what happens. Now when he starts the story like that, we don't know where this story is going to go. But when you read this story, God planned everything to let the Samuel know, you are worried about king, but I am going to bring a man to you, and you are going to make him a king. So here his father says to him, you know, son, our donkeys are lost. Could you go and find the donkeys and take one of our servants? That means they had many servants, and take one of the servants, he said. So now see what Saul does. Let's read the verse. Okay, 3. Okay.
And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, Come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto him, Behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go.
The donkeys are gone. If you have a donkey, and you tie the donkey in a one place, and you release that donkey will go and eat grass and eat his food. And in the evening, that donkey will come and stay where his place is. There are so many animals in the world, and I'm talking about domestic animals. They have calves, the camels, the sheep and goats. All these animals need somebody to watch over them. But the donkey, nobody watches over them. They let them go, they eat their food, and they come home night and stand where they're supposed to be. This time, the donkey didn't come home. This is unusual. The donkey walked away, not one place. They walked almost, they lost their border of Benjaminites, their territory, and they went somewhere. They didn't know where they went. And so these people are looking everywhere, and they could not find. Now they are coming so close where the Samuel lives. Saul says to his servant, you know what? We looked everywhere. We could not find any donkey. Let's go home. Otherwise, my father will be worried about us instead of donkey, because we are much more valuable than donkey. Now, my father is going to worry about us, so let's go home. Now, he was obedient son. Sounds like a very good man, even though he is tall and handsome and everything. But at that time, he was not proud. He was listening to his father. Otherwise, he would have said, why should I go on looking for donkeys? Send you so many servants. Let somebody go and find the donkey. But as soon as his father said, son, take one of the servants and go, he obeyed the father. And they went far away. If you read a little bit further, they lost all, they finished all their food and everything. They didn't have any money in their pocket or nothing. Servant says, you know what? Here is the prophet. They used to call seer. He's the prophet here. This is a good man and a very honorable man. And if somebody asks him anything, he tells them. And whatever he says, even the future, it comes to pass. He's a good man. Let's go to him. And he's giving advice to Saul. See what Saul says. Verse 7.
Then said Saul to his servant, But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we?
See the situation of Saul. He has so many servants, so many donkeys, but he has no money in his pocket. Not only that, he has no ring, no silver, no gold, no gold chain, nothing. He is a humble man. And even the rich man's son, but he doesn't have any silver and gold. So he says, when we go to the man of God, we have to give something. Some gold, some food, something. He said, our food is gone. We don't have anything. And so how can we go and meet the man of God? But the servant had the good idea. I thought this servant is a good man. He would have said, I'm not giving my money. I'm not giving him anything, let's go back. But this man says, I have something. I have a quarter shekel of silver or something. He said, I can give it to you. Then you can give it to the man of God, and he will tell us where the donkeys are. Let's read further verse 8.
And the servant answered Saul again and said, Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way.
Now he said, I have this coin, or he had the a ring or something, but a quarter shekel of silver. And so he said, that will be enough. Give it to the man of God and say, my donkeys are lost, and could you tell me? And he will tell us. And so now they got the idea, and Saul agrees with the servant, said, okay, that's a good idea, let's go. And so now they are going. They don't know where they're going. They don't know address or anything. But see how God orders your way. And God will guide you. If you are in the right path and God has chosen you and God has blessed you, you will never get lost. See what happens. God allows them to find the way. Verse 9.
Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, is the seer here?
Now see, while he's going there, he found some girls. They might be coming to take the water or whatever the way they're coming. The young girls, the servants, they were working for somebody. And they saw this handsome young man. And he is asking them, do you know where the prophet lives? They would have said yes or no, one word. But they're giving all the details about this Samuel. Let's please read verse 12.
And they answered them and said, he is, behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. And as soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before ye go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice. And afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place.
The prophet lives here, and he goes to the high place. The sacrifice will be there, and there are many people comes gathered together for the sacrifice, and they sacrifice, and they have feast, and this is a good day. Samuel is here in town. Please go, and you will find the prophet. Now, still they are walking, and see what happens. This is the plan of God. They are looking for the man, and Samuel comes, and they're asking Samuel, do you know where the prophet lives? And Samuel says, I am the prophet, I am the seer, and they talk to each other. Let's read the verse 15.
Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come unto me. Now when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, a man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate, and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer, go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine hearts.
Saul and his servant searching for Samuel, and they are coming close, and Samuel coming, and they are going to meet each other. But at the same time, God says to Samuel, Samuel, I told you already, the man is coming to meet you. And so that's the person is going to be king of Israel. And so God already told the Samuel ahead of time. But Samuel never saw the man. This is the first time Samuel sees the Saul. And not only that, by faith, you will be learning a little bit further. By faith, as soon as God told him, tomorrow you are going to meet the man, and that's the man, you are going to anoint him, you are going to make him a king. So there was a feast going on, so he told the cook, hey, listen, I'm going to have a guest, and you cook a good shoulder, a meat, and keep it separately, because the guest is coming. Samuel never saw the face. But when God told him, I'm going to send a man, Samuel already made the arrangement. He told the cook, who could best store up the lamb. But if you read in the New King James, it says a thigh. But it was not a thigh, it was a shoulder. A shoulder lamb, and he cooked very well and kept it for him. So as soon as Samuel sees the Saul, Samuel might be very happy because the man is tall, handsome, and look like a very fit for the king. And so he said, could you tell us where this prophet lives or seer lives? He says, that's me. Come and follow me. Or come, we have the feast and you are going to eat with us. And so they're going together. Verse 20.
And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house?
Now see, they did not even ask. The servant says, you know, we have the one quarter of silver, and we'll give it to the man of God, and he will tell us where the donkeys are. Before even they ask, he said, you are looking for donkeys? 3 days ago they are lost, they are already found. Don't worry about donkey. So the burden is already rolled away. Saul feeling good. Something good is happening right now. Our donkeys are found. And Samuel saying something good. He said, you know what? You are the man God had chosen. The Israeli people should have faith in you, and they should be supporting you, what you're going to do. And he's trying to put it in his mind, you will be the future king for the Israeli people. Saul should be saying, thank you, but he's saying, I'm not that person, because you'll be learning. He said, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. And the Benjamin tribe is the smallest one. Let's read verse 21.
And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?
Now he's saying, you are telling me that I should be the best man for Israeli people. They should be looked for me as their king. But don't you know, our tribe is the smallest tribe in the Israel. Benjamin was the last son of Jacob. And Israeli people had a war with the Benjamin people, Benjaminites. You remember? Because the priest was taking his concubine, and they came to their town and they destroyed his wife and killed her. And so that man made a 12 pieces and sent it to all the Israeli people. And the Israeli people came to fight with this Benjaminites, and all the people were destroyed, and they did not have even wives. So they had to find some 600 girls and give it to them. So their tribe was very small. So the Saul is saying, you got the wrong person. I'm not qualified. Our tribe is small. And he should have said, our tribe did so many wrong things. They committed sin. I'm coming from their tribe, but my family is in the tribe of Benjamin, and our family also the least in the Benjaminites. So he's trying to say, I'm not worthy. I'm not right person. See how God does. If you remember, Samuel's mother, when she was praising God and praying, she said, he picks up the least of the people and he makes them kings. So now this man, he's saying, I'm from the small tribe, my family's small, I'm not even worthy to be king. Let's read the verse 22.
And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons.
Now there were already 30 people invited for this feast, and people were sitting, but Samuel gave this man the highest place, the number one place, and said, okay, this is a reserved seat for you. You're going to sit there. So Saul might be thinking, see how God lifted me. My donkeys are found. I'm the least in this tribe. My family's least. But I am getting a lot of honor and a lot of respect. And he was sitting there, he didn't know what's going on. Okay, let's read the verse 23.
And Samuel said unto the cook, Bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, Set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder, and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, Behold, that which is left, set it before thee indeed. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day.
See, God told the Samuel, the man is coming. Samuel believed it without seeing it. Told the servant who is cooking, cook the shoulder, put it aside. I'm going to give the guest. And exactly happened. He said, hey, didn't I tell you? The part I told you to keep it for this guest, bring it. He's eating with these people and see what God is going to do. Verse 25.
And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they rose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, Up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out both of them, and he and Samuel abroad.
They finished food, they talked to each other, and now Samuel took him to the top of the house. I don't know why he took it. They were talking there, and then Samuel said, Let's go down now. Now, I was thinking, just like Jesus Christ, when he was preaching and many people crowding him, so he went to the boat and stayed in the boat, and the people were listening so they would not push him and crowd him. Same way, the Saul was with his servant, so the Samuel didn't want servant to know what Samuel is doing to the Saul. Because Samuel wanted to keep this thing secret. So he took him top of the house. Maybe he talked to him something he doesn't say here. And then they came down. And now he's trying to tell these people, Saul, tell your servant to walk a little bit further. Let him go further. I want to talk to you. So he can tell him what the plan of God is for him.
And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God.
Now, this is the way the chapter finishes. Samuel is telling to Saul, You know what? I have something to tell you. God has already spoken to me, and I want to give you the word of God to you, but let the servant go. And I will talk to you. And so Saul is obedient. He didn't say, you know what? What is the secret? You can tell me right now. But he just listened to the man of God and let the servant go. And then Samuel was going to talk to him. And the chapter is finished. If you want to go to the chapter 10, let's read a few verses. There, somebody made these chapters. They're supposed to keep the chapter 10 in the chapter 9 and let the people know what Samuel was going to do with the Saul. But it didn't say there, and 27th verse is finished, and he said, I'm going to talk to you. What is he going to talk? It says in the chapter 10. Samuel wanted to anoint the Saul, and Saul was anointed, and then he sent him home. We will be reading in the chapter 10 what are the things Samuel told the Saul and exactly happened. And Saul kept it secret. He did not tell the servant what the Samuel did. His uncle comes to meet him middle of the way. He said, Hey Saul, I heard that you went to Samuel. What did he tell you? He did not tell him what the Samuel said. He said, Well, Samuel told us your donkeys were lost and they are found. So sometimes God tells you something to tell other people. And sometimes God tells you something for yourself. Don't announce. And so the Saul was obedient. Samuel never told him, don't tell anybody. Keep it to yourself. Because we are going to surprise the Israeli people. He didn't say anything. But Saul kept quiet. And the next week we will learn the chapter 10. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You have started a good work in our lives, and you are going to complete. There is nothing impossible with you. Sometimes we do not know what to do, but when we trust in you, you are always there to guide us. We are here to listen to your voice. Bless us, O Lord, and use us mightily for the glory of God. Supply each and every one's need. Let each and every one call upon God, and let the God's blessing fall on us. Let us live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.